My name is Daniel King. I am a missionary evangelist, and I am excited about telling people about Jesus. And I was so excited hearing so many of you share your testimony this morning of the people that you have talked to about Jesus and led to Jesus. What a great blessing it is to have a church that is excited about sharing the gospel all over the place. Amen. Well, as Pastor Chas was telling you, when I was 15 years old, I was reading a success book, and it said, if you want to be successful, you need to write down your goals. And one of the goals it said would be good for young people is to try to become a millionaire by the age of 30. How many of you would like to be millionaires by the age of 30? What about by the age of 60? Second time around for 90 for a few of you? Well, I realized that because of my upbringing as a missionary in Mexico, that money was not what was important to me. What was important was souls. And so at the age of 15, I wrote down on a sheet of paper, I, Daniel King, want to lead 1 million people to Jesus before I turn 30 years of age. Instead of trying to become a millionaire, to lead 1 million heirs into the kingdom of God. And so God started opening up doors in different nations. And I'm excited to tell you that before I turned 30 years of age, we completed that goal of leading over 1 million people to Jesus. Amen. And then I was praying about what comes next, and I felt like God said, go for 1 million souls a year. And so that's what I'm passionate about. That's what we're going after, is 1 million souls every single year. In the natural, that would be impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Amen. And so I want to first just say thank you so much to Houston Faith Church for supporting our ministry, helping us go to the nations. You have had a significant part of all the people that we have been able to lead to Jesus. I don't know if you know this, but from your tithes and offerings that the church gives, the church every single month has been very faithful for many years to help us go to the mission field. And so when you're giving here, you're impacting lives here in Houston, but you're also impacting lives all over the world. And I think the principle is true. The light that shines farthest is going to shine brightest near at home. And so because of your giving, people are getting saved all over the world. Amen? Isn't that exciting? And so I want to take you with me right now to the mission field. How many want to go to the mission field? I want to take you with me all the way to Africa. We're going to go to Tanzania. And I want you to just get a taste of what God is doing through these massive miracle crusades that we're doing. And so if you have that video ready to go, I want to show you what God did recently in the nation of Tanzania. Christ for All Nations, the ministry founded by Reinhard Bonnke and now led by Daniel Kalinda, invited me to minister at a gospel crusade in Kahama, Tanzania. This year, I had the privilege of teaching 50 students at the evangelism boot camp hosted by Christ for All Nations. Now, these students are on the ground putting into practice the lessons they learned in the classroom. The students are visiting hundreds of local schools in Tanzania to preach the gospel. They're taking evangelism trucks into the streets and marketplaces to tell people about Jesus. Plus, they're organizing a great gospel crusade in Kahama, Tanzania, one of 5 crusades taking place in Tanzania over a 2-week period. For several months, these students have prepared for the crusade by putting up posters, banners, billboards, and passing out flyers. They organize the local churches and train counselors. Everyone in town has heard about the event, and now it's time to preach the gospel. I preached a simple gospel message.
You were created to have a relationship with God.
And thousands of people responded to the altar call. God performed many miracles.
Buenas a Fiwi.
Buenas a Fiwi.
Amina.
Amina.
Aleluya.
Aleluya.
Over our week in Kahama, Tanzania, a total of 13,457 people filled out decision cards as an indication of their decision to follow Christ. Now, the local churches are following up on these new believers to make them disciples. thank you so much for your financial support. It's because of your generosity that we are able to go tell people about Jesus. Would you become a financial partner with us today? I'm asking God for at least 300 people that would support us faithfully every single month. Would you be one of those 300? Even if you can just give $1 a month, give at least $1 every month to help us to lead people to Jesus. God bless you. Come on, can you give some praise to Jesus? Isn't that amazing to see what Jesus is doing all over the world? I want to share with you some testimonies from some of our recent outreaches to different nations. One of the greatest displays of faith was that I've ever seen in my whole ministry happened at one of my crusades in Ethiopia last year. It was a small city, and we had a big crowd of people, Abuna, Ethiopia. And I preached one night on the paralyzed man who was let down through the roof. You remember the story in Matthew chapter 9? The paralyzed man is brought to Jesus by four friends. And when they arrive at the house where Jesus is teaching, there's so many people there that they can't push through the crowd. So they have an idea. They say, let's climb up on top of the roof of the house. Let's cut a hole in the roof and let's lower the man down in front of Jesus. And so they did that. They lowered the man in front of Jesus. And Jesus says three things to him. Jesus says, be encouraged. Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Jesus says, get up and walk. And so Jesus says the same three things to you this morning. Jesus says, be encouraged. Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. And Jesus says, get up and go home completely healed. Well, when I got to the end of that message, I was really disappointed because I saw a bunch of people at the back of the crowd, they started to walk off. And as a preacher, you know, that really hurts when you preach a good message, you're all enthusiastic and excited, and you see people walk off. You're like, man, I said something wrong. Maybe I offended them. Maybe I made a mistake. I didn't communicate quite well. And so they went back into the town, and I was given the altar call, and then I saw this great display of faith. The people that had walked off, they came back, but carrying their grandma on a bed. And it wasn't just one or two, it was about four or five different groups that had gone back to their house in the town to find their sick grandma, their sick uncle, somebody who was bedridden. So they heard the message about how these four men brought the paralyzed man to Jesus, and they said, we better go get the person that we know is sick. And they came across the field carrying these beds on their shoulders. I saw the beds coming up through the crowd, and they laid them right in front of the platform to come and get prayed for. I mean, what a tremendous display of faith. I wish that every person that ever heard me preach would immediately put what God's word says into action in their life. Amen? Then another country that we went to this year was Sierra Leone. Now, 1 week before we were supposed to go and do our crusade, they passed a law that said because of COVID, you weren't allowed to have any large gatherings. And so we were praying, it's like, God, should we go? Should we stay at home? You know, everything is canceled. We put up all the posters, but now people can't come to the crusade. Well, we decided that even if there's restrictions, we still need to go to preach the gospel, because even people who are sick with COVID, they still need to hear the gospel. So we went. And we, instead of having one big crusade, we decided to go from village to village in that area and just gathering all the villagers together and preaching to them. And so we wanted to take some good pictures of the people that were being touched by God. And so we just asked around and said, is there anybody you know who's good with a camera? And they said, oh, there's a guy at the national TV station. He's really good at taking pictures. And so we hired him and brought him with us to the crusade. And what we didn't know is that he was a Muslim. His name was Dulkish, and he was a Muslim. And this Muslim cameraman, he came with us, and he was taking pictures in every single village. And we went to like 6 or 7 villages every single day. We go preach at a village, get everybody saved, then go to the next village and do the same thing again. Pray for people, get them saved, go to the next village. This Muslim named Dulkish, and I began to talk to him, and he said that he was from the Mandingo tribe in Sierra Leone. And the Mandingo tribe, 99% of the tribe is Muslim. They've been Muslim going back many, many years, hundreds of years. And so we were taking pictures. He was taking pictures, but every day, 6 or 7 times, he was hearing the gospel message over and over and over again. And at the end of the week, we told all the villages we're going to have a big baptism service. And so everybody who got saved, come to the baptism service and we'll baptize you. And the night before Dulkish came to us, he said, "I want to be baptized." And we said, "Do you know what that means?" He said, "Yeah, that means that I want to be a Christian now." And we said, "That's right." And so we took Dulkish and put that picture up on the screen. We took him down into the river. And we baptized Dulkish, and he became a Christian. He has 8 members in his family. We sent a pastor over to his house. All 8 members of the family got saved. And so he was one of 153 people that we baptized that day. And so that was just a tremendous testimony. Then in Tanzania, I showed you the video from the crusade in Tanzania. Well, there was a Muslim man in that city too. His name was Abdul. And this man, Abdul, was in training to become an imam, a leader of a Muslim mosque. And he had received several years of specialized training. His mosque had sent him over to Kenya to be trained for like 2 years. Then he went to Zanzibar and had another year of training. And he was scheduled to go and finish his training in Oman. And 1 month before he was scheduled to go, the big gospel crusade came to his city. And one of the young men who was on our missions team ministered to him, and Abdul gave his life to Jesus. And it was a huge miracle. And so then we always want to follow up on the people that get saved. And so one of the local churches, the pastor, he had a plan for follow-up. He says, "We're going to do 21 days of instruction for all the people that get saved." And so every night for 21 days after the crusade was over, he got all the people that had got saved in his neighborhood, got them all together. And one night he taught on prayer. Another night he taught on fasting. Another night he taught on healing, just giving them a foundation for becoming strong believers. And so Abdul, he was there. He got kicked out of his family. His family didn't want to have anything to do with him. His father actually went to the chief of police and says, "You need to arrest my son and put him in jail because he became a Christian." And the policeman said, "You know, you can choose whatever religion you want." He says, "But it's crazy." He said, "No one would become a Christian. He must be crazy. You got to put him in jail because he's so crazy." So the father, you know, and the police chief said, I can't do that. Well, he got kicked out of his family. He lost his job because he had a job with a Muslim man. And so the pastor just brought him into his family, gave him a place to stay, and began to minister to him every single night, ministering to him. And, on the night that they started talking about baptism, he told the pastor, I want to be baptized. And so Abdul became, he got baptized, he became a Christian, and they changed his name from Abdul to Elijah. And so then I went back to Tanzania for another crusade in Iringa, and I met Abdul, who's now Elijah. And he was actually now one of the counselors at the next crusade. And there were more Muslims that were coming up to get saved. And he was the one who was counseling them and telling them how they can come to Jesus. Isn't that exciting? And so it's amazing how God just changes people's hearts. And then another place we went to this year was the nation of Malawi. And I got to preach in the oldest church in Malawi. It was the first church ever planted in Malawi. It was planted by David Livingstone, who was a great missionary explorer who explored much of Africa. He's famous for exploring Africa. And he originally came to Malawi. He planted this church. And then 20 years after he died, they built this beautiful big cathedral church building out of bricks. And now all of the elite people in the society go to this church. And so when I was preaching, everyone was dressed in a three-piece suit. With a tie on. They were all super fancy. And it was the name of the church is St. Michael's and All the Angels Presbyterian Church. It wasn't just some of the angels, it was all the angels. So of course I dressed up in a tie, I dressed up in my fanciest clothes, and I ministered in this church. And when I gave the altar call, 30 people in that church gave their lives to Jesus. And the pastor was just amazed. He said, I never thought we had unsaved people in our church, but I guess we did. And so then that afternoon, we did a big kids service. There was 5,000 or 6,000 kids on the field. And for the kids service, I dressed up in my clown suit, had clown hair on and big nose and everything, and juggled for the kids. And I gave the altar call, and thousands of kids got saved. So in the morning, I was dressed in my suit and tie, and in the afternoon, in my clown suit. But Paul says you must become all things to all people so that some might be saved. And so God will use you in whatever gifting and talent that you have. God will use you to bring people to Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so sometimes you dress up in a nice suit. Sometimes you dress up in a clown suit. But no matter what you're wearing, God can use you. Everyone just lift your hand in the air and say, God can use me. One way that God is using us right now is to reach out to people from Afghanistan. My mother was actually born in Afghanistan. My grandparents were missionaries there back in the 1950s. And my mother lived in Afghanistan until she was 8 years old. And so because of that, she had a lifelong love for the people of Afghanistan. Every day when she was homeschooling me, we would get up in the morning, we would always pray for the people of Afghanistan. God, we pray for Afghanistan to be saved. And then 12 years ago, my parents left Mexico, where they'd been successful missionaries for 20 years, and they moved to Afghanistan, and they started a school there. And you're not allowed to be a missionary in Afghanistan because they'll kill you. But they went there to minister to people, to tell people about Jesus. And so, yeah, show that painting. This painting is a painting I have in my house. This was painted by a man named Abraham, who was Muslim, who had a vision of Jesus. And Jesus said, in 3 days, a missionary will come to you and tell you how you can go to heaven. And 3 days later, a missionary shared with him about Jesus. He became a believer. And his life was threatened. One time, three men from his art school took him at knife point and tried to get him to come back to Islam. And he had a gun. He pulled out his gun and took away their knives. And at gunpoint, preached to them for 30 minutes. So, you know, God can use you. Well, he painted this painting. And When Afghanistan had the Taliban came back in and took control in August, thousands of people in Afghanistan were trying to escape because they knew that their lives would be in danger because of the Taliban. And so we helped, just through a series of miracles, we were able to help 53 Afghans leave Afghanistan and escape. And now they have become refugees. They've come here to the United States, and they are Afghan refugees. And many of them are moving to our city in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where I live. And so at Christmas time, we invited 9 of these Afghan refugees over to our house for Christmas dinner. Say, come and experience a holiday, an American holiday with us. So we gave them Christmas food. We sang Christmas carols. We gave them all Christmas presents. And then I shared with them the Christmas story about how Jesus was born 2,000 years ago and why God sent his only son, Jesus, to earth to save us from our sins. And so these are 9 Muslims that we have the opportunity to share the gospel with. And none of the 9 have given their lives to Jesus yet, but every single day we're planting seeds. We're planting seeds because we believe that God wants to rescue them from hell and take them with us to heaven. And so I don't know who you know that you could invite to come to your house for dinner, but that's how simple it is to plant some seeds into someone's life. Just invite them over to your house for a holiday or for dinner and just begin to minister to people. Plant those seeds and talk to them about Jesus. Look for opportunities to bring people to Jesus. Amen? Amen. Another thing that's really been on my heart lately is our own nation. You know, we see God do great miracles all over the world, but it's so important to reach people here in America. And I've noticed that there is a real spirit of atheism that has been attacking people here in America, the spirit of secularism, the spirit of atheism. And I've been watching videos on YouTube and watching on Twitter, and there are so many atheists right here in America that are militant about pulling people away from God. I said, you know, somebody needs to reach them. And so I just finished writing this book. It's called Proof God is Real. Because that's what atheists are looking for. They're looking for evidence. They're looking for proof that God is real. I wrote this book, Proof God is Real. And I've got a study guide that goes along with it. And I just finished recording 55 videos from the material in this book. And we've been putting them up every day. This month, every day, a new video on our YouTube channel. And the videos have stirred up a hornet's nest of people just making negative comments about me saying that there's proof that God is real. But I don't care about all the negative comments. You know why? Because atheists are watching them, and you never know which seed is going to produce a harvest in their lives. And so I really wrote this book to help people, to minister to people that are being attacked by atheism. And so if you have some questions of what to say to a person like that, this book will help you. I've also got some tremendous resources on the table in the back there. We've got some books on soul winning. We got some books on fasting and prayer. I've got this book on the secret of Obed-Edom. It's an obscure Bible character, but his story will change your story. We got a book on healing power if you want God to use you to heal the sick. This is a tremendous resource for you. But this book on soul winning, I love this book. There's lots of quotes and ideas about how every Christian is called to be a soul winner. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to give everyone a free e-copy of this book. And so if you'll pull out your cell phone right now, and text the word souls to the number 22828. just text SOULS 22828. I will send you a free e-copy of this book to your email. So yeah, just you text the word SOULS, S-O-U-L-S, to the number 22828. And I wanted to at least give a gift to every single one of you if you'd like to receive that. You're welcome. Hallelujah. All right, are you ready to get into God's word this morning? I want to read just a few verses to you. The first verse is found right at the end of the book of Matthew. You know, between the time of Jesus' resurrection and the time of his ascension, Jesus had one thought on his mind. And he repeated this thought many different times in many different ways. And each of the gospel writers recorded this thought in slightly different words, slightly different terms. But the thought that Jesus was trying to communicate to the disciples was to go and to all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. So right here at the end of Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So I want everyone to just lift your hand up in the air and just repeat this after me. Say, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Now turn with me over to Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Mark 16, verse 15, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they'll drive out demons, they'll speak in new tongues, they'll pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." So could I ask everyone, just lift your hand up in the air and say, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." All right, now turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Right at the end of the book of Luke here. Verse 47, starting in 46. "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and will rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are all witnesses of these things." So everybody lift your hand in the air and say, "Repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations." Hallelujah. Now turn with me to John chapter 20, verse 21. Again, Jesus said, notice he's saying this again. He's saying it again and again and again. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So everyone just lift your hand in the air and say, "As the Father sent Jesus, Jesus is sending me." Now look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth." So everyone lift your hand in the air and say, I receive power from the Holy Spirit to be a witness to the ends of the earth. So five times Jesus gives us this instruction. In Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations. Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Luke 24, forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. John 20, as the Father sent me, I am sending you. And Acts 1:8, you will receive power to be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, five times Jesus gives us these instructions. Now, how many of you think if Jesus repeats something five times, we should listen to him? Amen? So, a few weeks ago, my wife Jessica, she woke up in the morning, and the first thing that she had on her mind was that we had run out of bread in the house. And so she turned to me, and I was still half asleep, but she started saying, Daniel, can you go to the store later on? Can you get us some bread? Yes, dear, I'll do that. All right. So then we're sitting at the breakfast table. She wanted some toast. And again, she noticed that there was no bread. So again, she turned to me and says, can you go to the store and buy us some bread? And I said, of course, dear, I'll do that for you. So then I take our two kids and I'm putting them in the car, our 11-year-old and 9-year-old. And I'm backing the car out of the garage and the door opens and Jessica sticks her head out. And so I roll my window down. She says, don't forget to bring home the bread. So then I drop my kids off at school and my cell phone rings. It's my wife, Jessica. Hello, honey. Yeah, I just dropped them off. I'm going to the store now. Yeah, I won't forget the bread. I love you too. All right. So then I go to the store, I get my cart, I'm going down the aisle, I get my milk, I get some cereal, and then beep, beep, it's a text message. It's from my wife, Jessica. One word. You know what that word was? Bread. You're so smart here. Bread. Now, what would happen if I got all the way back home and I forgot to bring the bread? Come on, women, what would happen? I would be in trouble. Now, what happens if Jesus returns and we've forgotten to do the thing that he told us five times to do? Matthew, go make disciples of all nations. Mark, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Luke, forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. John, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Acts, you will receive power to be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Now, these are not just good suggestions. These are commands to every believer. These words are known as the Great Commission. It's not a great suggestion. It's a great commission. This is our job, our duty as believers. How many of you are believers this morning? You believe in Jesus? Yeah, this is our job as believers to go and to preach the gospel to every creature. I remember when I became excited about preaching the gospel. It was when I was 14 years old. I went on my first missions trip to the nation of Jamaica. And we were going out into the neighborhoods, knocking on doors, inviting people to come to the mini crusade that we were doing. And Jamaica is a very hot, humid country. And so by the end of the day, we were hot, we were sweaty, we were tired, we were exhausted. And we just wanted to take a shower and fall into bed. But when we got to the hotel, there was a problem. For some reason, all the water in the hotel had been shut off. And so we couldn't take a shower. But someone in the group was a smart missionary and said, let's just go down to the swimming pool and take a shower in the swimming pool. So that's what we did. We just took our shampoo, we took our soap, we went down to the swimming pool, and we're just swimming around in the swimming pool. And as we're swimming, I noticed that off on the corner of the swimming pool, there was a light, and there was this panel, and there was smoke and sparks coming out of this panel. And so very foolishly, I decided to swim over there and investigate the smoking panel. I didn't say I was the smartest missionary. I'm just a willing. I'm looking at this panel, and as I'm looking at it, suddenly the light that was under the water, it shocked my leg. And it scared me because you can die from electricity and water like that. This whole side of my body went numb. And I managed to pull myself out of the pool, and I was walking away, and I was just thanking God. I said, thank you, God, so much for saving me. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. And I was 6 steps away from the pool when suddenly I remembered that all of my friends were still in the pool. And I immediately became very concerned for their safety. So I rushed back over them. I started yelling. I said, guys, get out of the pool. Get out of the pool. If you stay in the pool, you're going to die. It shocked me. Well, they're all teenagers. They thought I was joking. They thought it was a practical joke. So they were laughing at me. Guys, get out of the pool. If you stay in the pool, you're going to die. And I began to, and I was so concerned for their safety that I even started grabbing some of them by the hair and pulling them out of the pool. If it had been you, I wouldn't have been able to save you. But I was grabbing them and pulling them out of the pool. And finally, they realized what a serious situation it was. And everyone got out of the pool. And thank God, no one died that day. And right then, God spoke to me. He says, Daniel, you need to have the same passion saving people from hell as you showed saving your friends from that pool. You see, a lot of people, they get saved and they walk away, say, thank you, God, for saving me. But they forget that there is a world full of people that are dying and going to hell. And so thank God that you're saved. Can you say hallelujah? Thank God that you're saved. But let's not forget about that world full of people out there that need Jesus. And it is our job, our responsibility to go and to rescue them. And so when my friends were in that pool, I was willing to grab them. And Jesus said, go out into the highways and byways and compel people to come. Compel is a strong word. It means you grab them by the arm and say, come on, let's go to church. You need Jesus. And so sometimes you got to be strong. I was willing to talk to them, talk strongly to them, even yell at them a little bit. That doesn't always work, but I tried it, you know. Someone said that Christianity is like one starving man who found bread, going and finding all the other starving men and telling them where they can find bread. And so thank God that you're saved, but let's not forget about the world full of people out there that need Jesus. A few years ago, my family visited one of the greatest natural wonders in the world. It's a place called Carlsbad Caverns. It's a huge cave system in New Mexico, just on the other side of Texas over there. And you start up at the entrance to this cave. There's thousands of bats that fly out at night. And you can walk down into the cave. And so as we walked into the cave, the guide began to tell us stories about the original explorers of this cave. They were extremely brave men and women who would explore using nothing but a tiny candlelight. And so we walked down, down, down into the depths of the cave. And when we got a mile underground, the guide told us that she wanted to duplicate the conditions that the original explorers went through. So she sat us all down on a bench, and then she walked over to the light switch, and she turned off the lights. And suddenly, it was dark. It was so dark, I couldn't see the person next to me. It was so dark, I couldn't see any of the group. I couldn't even see my hand in front of my face. Just total and complete darkness. And she let us sit there for a few minutes so her eyes would adjust to the darkness. Then she reached in her pocket and she pulled out a cigarette lighter. Now, when she said that she was going to light the cigarette lighter, I was thinking to myself, this darkness is so thick that that small cigarette lighter isn't going to make much of a difference. But we were in a room about twice the size of this room. And when she lit the cigarette lighter, suddenly we could see the entire room. We could see the stalactites, we could see the stalagmites, we could see all the people in our group. That cave was a very dark place, but all it took was one light to light up the dark cave. The world is a very dark place, but all it takes is one light to light up a dark world. Everyone say, one light. One light. And Jesus said, Matthew 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Each one of us is called to be a shining light in the midst of great darkness. Everyone say, I'm a shining light,
I'm a shining light
in the midst of great darkness. Each one of us can be a shining light, even when it's very dark. And in the world, sometimes it's very dark. There's a lot of people here in Houston that need Jesus. There's a lot of people that have problems in their marriages. They're sick in their bodies. They need a touch from God. They're having problems with rebellious teenagers. And so there's a lot of darkness in this world, but God has called you to be a shining light in the midst of great darkness. Can you say amen?
Amen?
One time there were these four friends who loved to fish. And they heard about a lake up north that was really good for fishing. So these four friends, they chartered a little plane and took them and left them at this lake in a cabin, and they were going to go fishing. But the first day they were going to go out fishing, it started to rain. And so it was just raining cats and dogs. And so they said, don't worry about it. We'll just stay here and hang out in our little house, our little cabin together, and wait for the rain to stop. And so they're in the little cabin, four guys, little tiny cabin. They're just really close to each other. They're playing cards. They're just waiting for the rain to stop. They're getting along. They're having fun. But then the second day, it rains again. And now they're starting to get a little irritable with one another. They start to bump elbows. They start to fight. Third day, it's still raining. And now these four friends are getting angry with each other. They're yelling at each other. They're rubbing every raw emotion. And they're just getting upset at one another. And they're just fighting the whole time. You know why those fishermen were fighting? It was because they weren't fishing. Do you know why sometimes churches fight? It's because they're not fishing. Sometimes people get upset about the color of the carpet or about a song that they don't like or about someone who looked at them weird, and they start to fight.
Good work.
You know why they're fighting? It's because they're not fishing. A church that's fishing is focused on the thing that's most important to God. And they're not going to have time to get annoyed at one little thing or another little thing. Come on, we got to stay fishing. Come on, look at the person next to you and say, you got to be fishing. Go for souls. Jesus said, I will make you a fisher of men and women. Each one of us is called to be a fisher of men and women and children and tell people about Jesus all over the place. I want to give you an illustration. And so for this illustration, I need a couple of volunteers. Brother, would you help me out? And let me... Here in the suit here, right behind you. Yeah, can you come up here? All right, come on, give them a great big hand. They're going to help me out. What's your name?
Gabriel.
Gabriel. Everyone say, hi, Gabriel. And what's your name?
Brian.
Brian. Everyone say, hi, Brian. Okay, so for this illustration, Gabriel and Brian are going to play the part of pastors who are just launching a brand new church. Okay? And both of these pastors are men of faith. Both of these pastors are men of prayer. And so they're both strong prayer warriors, but there's a slight difference in what they're praying for. Okay? So Pastor Gabriel, in starting your church, the first thing that you notice is that you need some seats for people to sit on. And so you start praying and saying, God, I pray that you would give me some seats so people can sit. And so I'm going to give you the microphone. I want you to just pray for God to give you some seats. Okay?
So go ahead. Okay. Father God, I ask in Jesus' name, Father, to fill this whole church, Father, with seats and with people to come and fill this whole place up.
All right. Pastor Gabriel, look, God has answered your prayer.
Hallelujah.
Come up here and just have a seat right there. Can we celebrate God has answered his prayer? All right. Now, Pastor Brian, he's also a man of prayer, but his prayer request is a little bit different. His prayer request is, God, give me a soul. Give me someone that I can lead to Jesus. So, Pastor Brian, I'm going to give you the microphone. I want you to give me a good, Holy Spirit, powerful prayer, asking God to give you someone that you can lead to Jesus.
All right. Father, I just pray in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that you would bring somebody across my path that I could lead them to Jesus and save their soul, Father. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. All right, now I want you to look out here at this beautiful congregation here. Look for someone who looks like they need Jesus. And I want you to go grab them and bring them back up here with you, okay? Go grab somebody who looks like they need Jesus and just grab them. There we go. Can we clap for this person who has met Jesus now? And then Pastor Gabriel, in your church, everyone has seats now, but you need some musical instruments. And so I want you to pray that God would give you a guitar.
Okay.
Whew, okay. Father God, I ask in Jesus' name that you give me a guitar as fast as you put seats and people in here. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah.
Here you go. God answers his prayer. Yeah, have a seat. Have a seat there. Enjoy your nice seat. All right. Now, Pastor Brian, he's led this person who looks like she really needed Jesus, led her to the Lord, and he's telling her, you know, we need to pray for people to be saved. We need to ask God to give us some souls. And so he's training her to pray and to witness. And so I'm going to give you the microphone. I want you to pray a strong prayer and say, God, give us a soul. Give us someone we can lead to Jesus.
So, Father, I just thank you for my salvation. Father, I just ask that you would lead us to many souls. That, Father, that you would call them into our paths, that we would witness to them. Father, we ask for the nations. You have chosen us, and we speak and we declare that they will come. That you would woo the hearts of those that's lost. Holy Spirit, that you would woo them with your heart. Draw them to us in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for it. We thank you, Father.
Amen. All right, now I want each of you, look out here, look for someone who looks like they need Jesus. And I want each of you, go grab someone who needs Jesus and bring them back up here, okay? Go get someone. Yeah. Come on, quickly. All right, can we clap for Jesus? Look at... All right, and then Pastor Gabriel, you need a new sound system in your church. Pray
that God will give you a sound system.
Father God, I ask in Jesus' name for a new sound system. Amen.
Yeah, just Yeah. Hold that there. All right, there we go. Can we clap? Jesus answered his prayer. Now, Pastor Brian, the whole church is praying for people to be saved, praying for the lost to come to Jesus. And so what I want each of you to do, go out there, look for someone who looks like they need Jesus. Each of you grab them and bring them back up here, okay? Grab someone who needs Jesus. Just, yeah. If they don't want to come, just compel them. You know, we want to really just bring people to Jesus. Yeah. Come on, can we clap? Look at all these people. And then in one night, Jesus returns. Pastor Gabriel, you're saved, but guess what? You can't take your sound system with you to heaven. You get to go to heaven, but you can't take that guitar with you to heaven. And you're going to be standing in front of the great white throne. And so you can't take your seat with you to heaven. You're going to heaven, but all these things are going to get burned up and left here on earth. But Pastor Brian, you also get to go to heaven and look at all these people you're going to take with you to heaven. The only thing you can take with you to heaven is people. And so what kind of church is this church called to be? Like this or like this? I think this church is called to be a soul-winning church. A church that goes after people. There's nothing wrong with possessions and things, but where should the focus of our prayers be as a church? I think our focus should be on people. God, help us reach some people. Help us make an impact for your kingdom. Amen? Amen. Can I give you another illustration? All right, guys, come down here, Pastor Gabriel. And guys, just come here and stand in a circle right here. Get in a circle. Now, this just stand in a big circle. Now, this circle is going to represent a typical church here in America. Now, what could we do to make this circle a better circle? Maybe if you guys grabbed hands, joined hands together. Yeah? So this circle represents a typical church in America, and they're fellowshipping one another. Maybe how could we make this an even better circle? Maybe if you got in closer like a football huddle, you could even put your arms around one another. Look at this. Now, the problem with a lot of churches in America is that when people in society look at the church, this is what they see. It looks like a nice club to be in if you could get into this club. But did you notice that when I asked them to make a circle, they all automatically faced inward? None of them tried to make a circle facing outward. And often when people see the church, they see our back turned away from them. And sometimes people in church are a little weird. They dress weird. They use weird vocabulary. You know, they're there at the Al-Anon prayer meeting. They're praying. And to people out in society, they're looking at them. It doesn't really look like there's a place for me in the circle. And I don't think this is the type of church that God wants us to be. So what I want each of you to do, I want you to put one hand into the circle because it's important for us to be connected together. But then I want you to face outward towards the audience. Yeah. And stretch out your other hand towards the audience and put a smile on your face. Come on, you got to put a smile on your face and put your hand like this. And go like this. Now, doesn't this look like a more welcoming kind of church? And so instead of being inward focused, this church is outward focused. This church is reaching out to the lost. This church is reaching out to the community, making a place for people to be connected. Now, I noticed that on February 5th, we've got an outreach. What's the outreach that you're doing February 5th? The park outreach. All right, so a park outreach, that's a way for people at a park to get connected to Jesus. And so could I have two or three people pretend like you're at a park, come over here and just get connected right here? Come on, guys, just get connected. Grab a hand right here. Another type of ministry that a church could have maybe is a woman's ministry, an outreach to women in the community. And so look at this beautiful women's ministry outreach right here. Could I get three or four women to just come and get connected right here to the women's ministry? Come on, just grab a hold. What's another type of outreach that a church could do? Someone just shout out some ideas. What could we do? Youth. All right, we're going to start a youth ministry right here. Can we have some young people come, some youth, come and get connected right here? What's another type of way we could reach out to our community? Somebody help me. Give me some ideas. How could we reach out? Children's ministry. All right, if we have any children, get connected here. What's another way we can get reaching out to our community? How about a feeding ministry? Feeding the hungry. Come on. Anybody hungry over here? Come get connected to the food ministry. It's almost lunchtime. Get connected to the food ministry. Come on, help me out. What's some other ways to get connected? Homeless. All right, someone pretend to be homeless. Get connected here. Can we get some homeless people over on that side? Yeah, just get connected. Well, what's another way we could reach out to the community? The elderly. Nursing home. All right, let's start a nursing home ministry. So right here, come on. Come here, guys. Come on. Get connected. Yeah, guys, come on. Come get connected. In fact, we want to reach the entire community for Jesus. So I want everyone in the whole auditorium, I want everybody to get connected to the church some way. Come on, just reach your hand out. Everybody get connected. Let's build a line all the way to the back there. Come on, everybody get connected. There is a place for everyone to be connected to what God is doing in the church. Amen? And so this is the kind of church that we're called to be. We're called to be a church that reaches out to the lost, a church that goes after those who need Jesus, a church that is praying for people to be saved. This is the kind of church that God has called Houston Faith Church to be. A church that reaches out to the entire community and makes a place for everyone to get connected to what God is doing. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Come on, everyone say,
I'm connected.
And I'm reaching out
to
people who need Jesus so they can be connected to what God is doing in the world today. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And so I believe that in this church, there are new ideas and new creativity for outreaches that have yet to be born. Some of you have some ideas. You can all head back to your seats now. Some of you have some ideas, some ways of reaching out. You could have a cookie ministry for new people that move to the neighborhood and go give them cookies when they arrive in the neighborhood. You could do a park outreach. There's all kinds of different ways that you can be involved. And so if you want to be involved in outreach, you want to be involved in reaching out to the community, come and talk to Pastor Chass and give him some of your ideas. And let's do some new and innovative ways to reach out to people who need Jesus. Because God has not called us to just sit like a bump on a log. We're called to go out to the lost and reach people and bring them to Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, I believe that every single person needs to meet Jesus. And so I've talked a lot about meeting Jesus today. You know, every single person is a sinner. Every single one of us needs Jesus. We've all done things that are wrong, but Jesus, the Son of God, he died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. And he didn't stay dead. After 3 days, Jesus rose from the dead. And today, Jesus is alive. And the Bible says that everyone who calls on Jesus will be saved. And so I'd just like to ask everyone, bow your head and close your eyes. If you're here today and say, I've never really had the opportunity to meet Jesus, or maybe I used to know Jesus, but I've wandered away, but I want to come back to my relationship with God, then I want to pray with you right now. If that's you, if you want to meet Jesus this morning, just lift your hand up so I can see you. Just lift your hand up. And if you want to come to Jesus today, just lift your hand up high, and I want to pray with you. Yeah, let me see your hand if you want to come to Jesus. Okay, could everyone just repeat this prayer after me? Say, Dear God in heaven, I cry out to Jesus. Jesus, save me. I believe you died on the cross to pay the price for my sin. I believe you rose from the dead. And today I choose to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.